Thank you so much, Elder Trujillo, for joining. And I would like to take this opportunity once again to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Good evening. So I'm very much grateful, especially this time, to stand before you. And even before I speak what the Lord has given to me to speak to you, first, my name is Elder Moses Ouru. Come from Africa, Kenya. I'm married to one wife. I have 7 children. 3 of them are at, and I have, besides the 7, I have 3 whom their parents died, and my wife thought that it would be wise if we can be able to take care of those 3. So when we planning to come, my wife and the children, they told me that I have to make sure I bring their greetings, and also the other brothers and sisters in Kenya who loves you so much, they send their greetings. I'm very much privileged to be here in Canada, and it is my first time to be here. I've learned a lot since we arrived here. I've seen the great love that you have to us, and it doesn't matter whether we come from Africa, from here in Canada, from Phoenix, we have all become brothers and sisters. So this evening, I would like to take my time to welcome each and everyone to our service, to our evening service, so that we each and everyone might be able to prepare himself to hear what the Lord has for us. You know, when several times when I stand before my local, I tell them that as I'm preaching, the things that I'm preaching, first, I'm the one who is preaching it myself. You are the second people who is going to receive these things. You know, the message that I'm going to speak this night, I prepared it some times back, and it was around, it was 1 month ago. You know, I was in my house at night, and I have 2 houses. The house where we are staying with my wife, and the another house for the children. So the house where I store, I put things, is where my children are staying or sleeping. So I remember one night, my wife went back to our home, and I was alone in the house, was listening to the radio in a high voice, and a thief came and stole the chairs, the mess which was in that house, and took it. And it took almost 1 month Then we came to know who took those things. I think we had a funeral, and as we were preparing for that funeral, Michael was there. The chief of our area called me and told me that, do you know what? There are some chairs here written the Church of Christ Kineni Local. Do you know those chairs? I said yes. So please immediately come to our location, to our the place where the chief is staying. So I went there, I found those chairs, I found one sack of maize which was stolen from my house. So it came to my mind and I prepared this message, and when I was coming here I thought that it would be good if we can be able to share. You know, I'm not saying that this maybe it was a message for the Kenyans only. It is a message for us. It is a message for me. It is the message for each and everyone who is here in this reunion, where we have gathered and we have been blessed, especially the messages that we received from our brothers, message that we heard from Michael. And Brother McCain, the Apostle Jay, I was very much blessed. So I would like us to turn to the Bible, the book of Luke chapter 23. And when I was preaching this message to the members of my local, you know, an old man came to me and they said, you know, that is a wonderful message. I told him, it is not only a wonderful message, but it is a message that we need to think about it. It is a message which may be, which can be able to help us in our lives. Luke chapter 23, I would like to read verses 32. Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 33, and I will jump to verses 39 up to 43. And here the scripture says this way, Luke chapter 23, verse 32 up to 33. It says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. That is Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And when they were
23.
Yeah, 23. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then one on the left. Let us jump to verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hung right on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And they said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, when I was reading this scripture, you know, I find that there were two men, we see three people. And these three people, I think one of them is the one whom I know very well. Because the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. And these two other men are men who can be able to change. So when I was looking into that word, which is called as a malefactor, when I was trying to do my research, I found that word was delivered from the Greek word kakugos, I think, I don't know how you can be able to call it, but it is the word which comes from the Greek word kakukos, meaning wrongdoer, criminal, or evildoer. So those other two men who were brought with Jesus Christ so that they could be able to be crucified, they were evil doers. You know, here, that these three men whom we see here, who were going to be crucified with Jesus Christ, and you know very well, and we believe that Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. He never did sin, but men, as we are in our natural state, the scripture, especially in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says that all have sinned, and because of the sin that they have done, they have come short of the glory of God. You know, men in their natural state, they are always sinners. And therefore, these two men whom were caught and they were brought by Jesus Christ, they were criminals. People maybe who did something wrong in a community, and therefore they thought that since we have time to crucify this man who is called Jesus, we need to crucify him with these criminals. You know, when poor Jesus was crucified amongst the two people who were criminal, he was not a criminal. What am I saying? I'm saying this. You know, those two men, when they were crucified, they saw, and even they were very near to Jesus Christ. But even though they were very close, they were very near, I think one of them never knew what was happening. One of those criminals never knew what was happening. And my topic that I would like to speak this evening talks about don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the time that the Lord has given to you. You know, maybe this is the only time that you are living. Maybe this is the only time that God has given to us to gather here in this reunion. So don't miss your opportunity. You just listen carefully to hear what the Lord is speaking this night. You just take your time, listen carefully to what the pastors, what the apostle, what the elders spoke in the morning, that we should not be fearful. We should not be men who thinks that we will be living, we will live on earth forever. You know, the one man was crucified, this criminal was crucified on the left-hand side of Christ, and the other one was crucified on the left-hand side of Christ. And what was amazing, it was very close, it was very near. But the man did not take time. Let me say, I would like us to read that verse 39. I like it. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged raised on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he told them that be careful that men should not make you to go astray. Take care. You know, take care of this life. Take care of your time that the Lord has given. Take care even of what you are doing in life. You know, sometimes in Kenya, young men, when they are very still young, they think that they will stay forever. They think that they will live on earth for all these years. They think that they will live for 100 years. Let me tell you, we never knew how many years we are going to survive, we are going to live. That's why I'm saying, don't miss the opportunity that the Lord has given to you. This man who was crucified on the left-hand side of Christ is a representative of those who have rejected. He is representing those people who have said, no, we don't want Jesus. You know, we have very many people maybe we have spoken to, people who have heard the apostles preaching, who have heard the pastors preaching, but they have said no. So the cross on the left hand side, the man who was crucified on the left hand side of Christ, represents those people who have said no to the gospel, who have said no to this opportunity that they have. Those people who think that they will be able to live tomorrow. You know, the Book of Mormon says, this life that we are living is there for us to prepare so that we can be able to meet our Lord while we are alive. You know, the Catholics, I don't know whether they do that here. I'm sorry to mention them. They tell the people that if you die, you have another chance. Let me tell you, my brother and sister, we're sitting here. We don't have two chances. We have just one chance. This is the only opportunity that we have. This is the only time that we have. Therefore, you need to sit down and consider these things that we are saying and know where you are. Are you on the left side of Christ, or you are on the left hand side or on the right hand side of Christ? But the man who was crucified on the left hand side of Christ, who represents those who have rejected, said, no, I don't want to hear, I don't want to do, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go and preach. These men who are here, who I have known, the pastor here, who is your elder here, the apostles whom we are with here, I have known them. They could have not got the chance to go to Africa if maybe they could have said no. Never should you say no. When the Lord is talking, when the Lord is speaking, when the Spirit of God is moving among us, you know, in among us, this congregation, among this reunion, I've had the Spirit of God moving among us here. I've felt that Spirit. And if that Spirit has touched you, know that this is the right opportunity that you have to consider what you should have to do for the Lord. I would like us to read in the book of Luke chapter 13. Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. Luke in Swahili, but Luke chapter 13, and I would like to read verses 1 to verse 5. These are the words of Jesus Christ. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galilean, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, saying unto him, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, I tell you no, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. All those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise. You know, there were those people who came to Jesus, and they were telling them concerning these Galileans whom their king killed, who was buried, and they mixed their blood with the sacrifices. But Jesus told them something which is very modern to us. Do you think that those people were more sinners than you? Do you think that those people who are wandering in the world, they are more sinners than we? No. Jesus said, unless we repent, unless we change our attitude, unless we change the way that we do things. You know, this man who was crucified on the left-hand side, he was just accompanying people without knowing why he was accompanying them. He was just speaking the words that he never even know what he was speaking, you know, because he said, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and save us. You know, those are the words which those people who brought Jesus to crucify were saved, and therefore is saved, even following what the people were saying. So what are you speaking? What are you saying? Are you saying as the other people say? Do you think the way that the other people think? Do you do things the way that other people are doing? Jesus said, do you think that those people were sinners more than you? But he said, no, unless we repent, we are on the way of going to perish. But we want to thank God because he has opened the way so that we can have, I say sometimes, I use the word, the complete gospel. A gospel of Jesus Christ that we have received through the Bible and the Book of Mormon. A gospel that the world doesn't have. A gospel that the people have rejected, but it is the truth of God. A gospel that the young people have run away from. You know, sometimes I think, no, you know, I'm not very old, but I'm an old mzee. An old man in Swahili, we call him mzee. So I'm an old mzee. I'm not very old, but I think if I were a young man, I could have taken my time. This is the right time. Because without this gospel, I could have not known these brothers whom I have known. I could have not known all my friends, like the friend of mine whom I've seen today. You know, the gospel of Christ is so nice. I could have not known the people who came from the brothers who gave us a gift. But now, through the gospel of Christ Jesus, and because they accepted and they said, yes, we want Jesus, and also I said, I want Jesus, and because of that, now we are bound to be brothers and sisters. We have been, you know, I'm black, but before the eyes of God, no black or no white. We are all the sons and children of God. We have become friends, friends of Jesus Christ. You know, a brother whom maybe sometimes you might hear that he has a problem, you cry. Why? We were not born with you. You were not born in our family. But when I hear that our brother Smith is sick, I feel so touching. I'm touched. Why? Because of the gospel that we have received. And I want to thank our brothers who accepted the gospel and they brought it to Africa. Without it, we could have not known the truth. So this man who was a criminal, he said, save yourself and save us. You know, what we need today is not a gospel which we like a person to save himself and save us. We need a gospel of Jesus Christ. We need a gospel which comes direct to my life. You know, I'm the one who knows my life. You are the one who knows your life. We are all knows our lives. So we need a gospel of Jesus, which I like these words. Therefore, I want you to know that we need to repent, and if there is no repentance, there is a way of perishing. Like to read in the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27, please. Matthew 27, verse 23. And I will read up to 26. Matthew chapter 27, verses 23 up to 26. And the governor said, what has he done? But they cried out more, saying, Let him be crucified. Matthew chapter 27, verse 23 up to 26. When Pilate saw that the crowd preferred nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto him, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. You know, when Jesus was taken before the governing council of this king, when he tried to know what evil he had already done, he found that he was an innocent person. And they said to the people, he is innocent. I don't see anything. You are the ones who have the mistakes. But the people say, let the blood of that person be upon us and upon our children. That's why when you see a man is not ready for the gospel, he thinks that he will be able to be saved tomorrow, he dies, his generation follows all that way, and you find that it is a corrupt generation. But I want to thank you. I want to thank each and every family which is represented here, because your family, my family, is on the right way, it is on the right channel, it is on the right place, because in the church that is the right place. You know, the decision that you have made is the right decision, and even what you are thinking to do, it is the right thing. You know, men who have rejected, they would not listen. Even when the king was saying, this man never did anything, they insisted, they made a lot of noise, and they said, he has to be crucified. You know, sometimes there is a question that I ask myself, what does the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ means to my life and to your life? What does it mean? Does it mean that he was crucified because he was crucified? No, he was crucified because of me. And therefore, his crucifixion and his death on the cross means salvation, means a way of life, means a way that we can be able to live. When we have believed in him, repented of our sins, be baptized in much water, laid hands on us by the ones who have the authority, and once you have received the Spirit of God in you, then you will endure, knowing one time there is a time that you are going to die, and after that you will be resurrected so that you can be able to stand before Christ and be judged of the things that you did when you were alive. The things that you are doing now are the ones that you are going to be judged of. The things that I'm doing now are the things which, when I will be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I will be judged of. You know, sometimes I think of all those things. What does the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ mean to you, you young men, you old people, you sisters, you brothers? It means that once you have accepted, it means life, it means joy, it means power, it means that now what you are hoping for is a life eternal. But the thief, imagine the thief said, if you are Christ. We don't say, if you are Christ. We Christians, we say, you are Christ. We don't say, if you are the Son of God, we say, he is the Son of God. If was doubting in himself, And also in the book of John chapter 9, John chapter 9, verses 2 to verse 5, something good that I'd like us to look here. John chapter 9, I would like us to read verse 2 to verse 5. It's a wonderful scripture. And it says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. Must work the works of him that sent me while it is a day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know, the people came to Jesus and they asked him a question. This blind man whom we have seen, now between him and his parents, who did sin? Jesus said, no. He did not do a sin, he did not sin, but he had been born blind so that the work of God might be able to be manifested. And you know, something which pleases me is that when Jesus is in our life, when Jesus is in the world, when Jesus is in this house, is a light to our lives. When we know Jesus Christ, now our eyes will be open and we will be able to see. You know, the world is blind because they need the gospel. The people who have not accepted Jesus, they are blind. You know, the people who are rejecting the Book of Mormon, you know, they don't know, and not only they don't know, but even they cannot see, because the truth of God cannot be able to be seen by our naked eyes. The truth of God will be seen by the light of Christ, which is in us. When we have said, now Jesus, we need you. Now Jesus, we want to lead you. We want you to lead us. You know, you sang a song yesterday. Jesus, like a shepherd, lead us and keep us when we are going to astray. We know that we have gone to astray way because we have found the truth of Christ. And also, in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, first Nehemiah chapter 4, please, like us to read Nehemiah chapter 4. In the book of Mormon, Nehemiah chapter 4, and verses 55 and 50, up to 62. The book of first Nehemiah chapter 4. And verses 55 up to 62. Right, read. And it came to pass that we did again take our journey in the wilderness, and we did travel nearly eastward from that time forth. We did travel. First book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 55. If their works have been fulfilled, they must needs be filthy. And if they be filthy, it must needs be that they cannot dwell in the kingdom of God. If so, the kingdom of God must be filthy also. But behold, I say unto you, the kingdom of God is not filthy, and there cannot an unclean thing enter into the kingdom of God. You know, as I told you from my beginning of my sermon, that you know, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that we are waiting at, the kingdom of God, Christ, you know, it will be received by those people who have prepared themselves, who are made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are not ashamed of Him. They make sure that even the world knows that they are Christ's, and even they are there, they are ready to fight, not to fight by our own strength, but to fight through the Spirit, to stand and even defend. You know, we don't have the power to defend, but we depend upon God so that He can be able to help us through the Scriptures. We can be able to defend the Word of God. I remember one time back at home, during my first time when I joined the Church of Christ, and I was baptized, but my wife was not already being baptized. So the church where I was there before, the Baptist church, they went and they printed a heap of tracts, a heap of papers. So they brought to my house, they found that there was no person in my house. So what they did, they throw those papers into my house. You know, our houses are not like your houses. Our houses, when we build them, there are some places where you can throw something inside. So they throw all those papers. And do you know what? Do you know what those papers were saying? They were saying the Mormonism is not a true church. You know, they thought that we are the Mormonism. So my wife came first and they found those papers. So when he was reading, I said, oh, this is wonderful. This is terrible. What is happening? So she waited me. Immediately I arrived, she said, you know, the missionaries from the Liberty Baptist Church came and they brought all these papers, and they have said that the church is not a true church, and therefore, you know, I fear. I told her, are the missionaries God? Is it God who is talking? Or is man? So between God and man, whom are you going to listen to? I told her, even if whatever that will happen, I've already decided. Have you decided today? Have you decided, or you are still saying, if you are the Son of God? You know, when we come to the second cross, the middle cross, so before I go to the middle cross, the criminal who was on the right hand side of Christ was a criminal. And even he saw Jesus Christ being a criminal, and he died on that cross being a criminal. Let me tell you, it will be better even to be crucified fighting for the work of God than dying on the cross being a sinner. He was a sinner, he was a thief, he was a robber, he was an evildoer. He was crucified, and even when he was on the cross, he never realized that this is the only chance that I have. But he died being a criminal. You know, I would not like to die without Christ. It will be good if I can be able to die with Christ. Because dying with Christ, it is something which brings hope. The hope that we have that one day we'll be resurrected and we'll be raised from the dead. And when Christ will be asked, who are these people? These are my children. These are the people whom I went to save. These are the people whom I died because of them. And then God will say, now, welcome my children. You know, we say in Swahili, karibu, karibu watoto wangu. Welcome my children, mama. And Jesus will say, welcome, because we have identified ourselves with Christ. My father, is called Juma. So when I go back to Kenya, if somebody asks me, what is the name of your father? I know my father. And when I will be going home, I will not miss my way because I know where my home is. And if my father, but I'm sorry that he's not there. He died a long time ago. If my father will be called amongst the other people, amongst the other fathers, I will identify him. I will say, this is my father. Have you identified yourself with Christ? Or you don't know? Are you ready to identify yourself with Christ this night? Or you want to say, if you are the Son of God, don't die being a criminal. Die as a hero. Die as a very big man. A man who has hope for the future life. Now the Metro Cross, which is very, very important to us, it represents salvation. A cross of Jesus. The cross where the Son of God was hung. It is where our sins were forgiven. It is where he died. And you know, that cross is very important to those people who have received Jesus, as we find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 21 up to 22. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. These are the words of Jesus. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It is pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The preaching of the cross, the gospel that we are preaching, let me tell you, the gospel that you are preaching to those people who have decided, who have said no, who have rejected, it is foolishness. But to those who are ready, who have humbled themselves, you know, the gospel is to humble yourself. Those who have humbled themselves, it is the power of God which works in men who were not learned, as my brother Michael said. You know, when we compare ourselves with the Kenyans, with the other Kenyans, we have very many people who are very much learned. Good people who can speak good English. People, if they were to preach, they will not miss a word. But we are nothing. But God uses weak things so that he may be able to ashamed the world. That's why we say the Metro Cross, it is the power in your life, it is the power in me, it is the power in you, it is the power which can change the world. We have very many people in Kenya who are so busy, very busy. I want to tell you an example. When I was staying in Nairobi, there was a very nice man. A man was let's say he was a middle class rich. He had everything, but he was not very, but he had things. So one time he invited me and the other brothers to go to pray and speak to him the word of God. You know, we arrived there and we found his wife sitting. And then we said we have come to preach. You know, during that time I was very skinny. That right one? I was very small, you know. I became big when I entered the Church of Christ. So he said, you know, the woman said, these people, they lack food and that's why they have come here to preach. But we said, no, we don't lack anything, you know. We have come here to preach. The woman said, I'm busy, I'm going. But the man was very nice. He said, Riva, you just continue. You know, she went to work. After 3 days, they went to Nairobi. I think most of our brothers who have been to Kenya, they know Nairobi. So they went to Nairobi with her husband and the children. So when they were going to, I don't know whether you know Kasarani. Kasarani is away towards Thika. As they were driving towards Thika, they saw somebody who was wearing the military clothes. So that man stopped them and they thought he was a policeman. You know what? When he stopped them, they stopped. He went near to them. He looked at them. And you know what he did? He shot the wife, honored the wife. And the man with these children, they remained alive. The wife died. So busy. So busy that even God is speaking is busy. But I thank God that we are not busy. He died. That is a true story, not a creative story. He died. Don't miss your opportunity. The right time, good day, a good reunion. I will be blessed so much when I will be going back to Kenya and tell my people concerning what I have seen here. Now, we were talking with my brother Michael when we were sitting there. We said, things here are done orderly, in an orderly manner, a way that God would like to do. So this is the things that we are going back to do in Kenya. He died. So don't be busy. The cross, the preaching of the cross to those who are perishing, it is foolishness. But to us who are ready, who are not busy, it is the power of God which has come so that we can be able to change our lives. So that we can change the way that we live, the way that we do things, the way that we talk, the way that we decide to do things. I want to tell you another story. Sometimes Michael called me an historian. You know, when were you leaving your house, the old house to the new house?
Last time?
Yeah. It was this year?
Yeah.
So Ryan was moving from the house where he had been staying to another new house because the rent went up to about 50,000. Therefore, he said that is too much. Was moving to a new house, which is less money, right? At 5,000, which is around $350. So we went and worked with Brian, putting the things together, putting them in the truck so that he can be able to move into the house. So we moved the things. That is a real story. So after that, I told Brian, Kwaheri, Let me go back to my house. And Brian and Michael went to his house. So in the morning when we came, you know, I knocked at the house. Brian came this way. And I said, I thought he was joking. Kumbe, Brian, what do we mean by that word? You know, I was surprised that Brian did not sleep. Brian never slept that night. He was having a painful backache. His leg was paining so badly, and therefore he could not be able to stand up. So I told him, sorry, Brian, you are not going to Korea. You will be staying here. You will be staying in your house. Let us go with Michael. Please give us your vehicle. Give us your car so that we give us your truck so that we can go to Korea. You know the answer that Brian gave me? I did not come to Africa to stay in my house. I did not come to Africa to stay in my house. What am I saying? The gospel of Christ, it is the power. You know, we went with the pains to the church, but when we arrived in Korea, you know, Brian was preaching, and I told him, you know, if you are feeling so painful, please pick up. He said, no, the pains are not with me now. I've been healed. The gospel of Christ, it is the power which brings a joy and the healing in our lives. I'm talking of the mitral cross, the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the power to us. And lastly, we have the cross on the right before, I say the last cross. Now, that cross represents salvation. It brings salvation to those who will be able to accept, those who will be able to keep the commandments of God, take the word of God in the Book of Mormon and in the Bible seriously, and live according to this word of God, and then God will be able to be their power. And therefore, the last thing that I would like to talk about is the cross on the right hand of Christ, which was of a criminal who was one of those people who were crucified. This cross, this third cross, the cross on the right hand side of Christ, represents those who have humbled themselves and they have said they are nothing before the world. They are nothing before the people. They are nothing. Even those people who are ready even to die, think, are you ready? I write the words that evil man spoke about. We turn back to the book of Luke chapter 23 and maybe verse 23. Yeah, Luke chapter 23, the same scripture that we read. Luke chapter 23. Sorry. Thank you, brother. That's why. You are
here.
Sitting here.
Here.
Okay. Luke chapter 23. And like to read verse. Let me see the verse that I would like to say. Okay, verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, the third cross is a cross of an evil man, a man who humbled himself, and he said to the one who rebuked Jesus, and he said, don't you even fear God of the things that you are saying? You know, sometimes we don't fear God in whatever that we do. But this man realized that the reward that he was receiving was a just reward because they were criminal. And therefore he rebuked the other man who was trying to criticize Jesus, and he said, you need to fear God. Today we need to fear God. We need to fear God in whatever that we do. You know, sometimes God speaks in a raw voice. We need to open our ears and hear what the Lord is saying. This man, I love him. He said, he humbled himself and he accepted, and he said, don't you think that this man is a just man and we have received what we were supposed to receive? He was telling my brother Mike yesterday that if somebody these days is caught in Kenya, maybe breaking your house, breaking to come into your house, once the people hold him, they pound him, they hinge him, they kill him. You know, this is a punishment, a just punishment to the one who is an evildoer. But Jesus never did anything. So the man realized that he was a sinner, and because he was a sinner, he needed the support of Jesus, and therefore he said to Jesus, Jesus, today we want to tell Jesus, Jesus, today, not tomorrow, Jesus, today, please, we want you to remember us. We want you to see us as people who have changed, people who need the truth, people who want you. I would like to read from the book of 2 Nehemiah chapter 6. Second Nehemiah chapter 6, please. Verses 41 and verse 42. Second Nehemiah chapter 6, 41 and 42 says, hold the greatness and the justice of our God, for he executed all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, I write that scripture, they which have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. This scripture says that God has fulfilled what he said, and he has executed his word to the people, and the word of God has gone to the world through the mouth of his people. And now his word, his law, which is his word, has been fulfilled. And therefore, the righteous, the people, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, people who have accepted Christ, who have become a saint. When we talk of a saint, we mean those people who have been in the family of Christ, people who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, people who are ready even to die for Christ, people who are very sure that Christ is their Lord, is their Creator. Now those people will be able to have the life eternal. The man said to Jesus, Jesus, today, please, when you will be able to bring your kingdom, remember me. And immediately, Jesus said, not tomorrow, not maybe 1 hour to come, but he said, today and now, we will be with you in paradise. What am I saying? I'm saying, Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the day that the Lord wants you. I want to tell you a story. It was last month. My wife's sister, her husband was critically ill. And I went there, I took her to one of the hospitals at the Tabaka. Think those who have come will be able to know Tabaka. So I took him to Tabaka because he was critically ill. He was admitted in that hospital, and therefore I thought they will be able to treat him. The following day, like after 1 week, my in-law called me and he said, David is calling you. David wants you. Please don't miss to come. But we have already arranged a meeting with the ministry in Kisi. So I thought it would be good if I can be able to go to Kisi, and after Kisi, I go to Tabaka to see David. So when I was in Kisi having a meeting with the ministry, again I received a call telling me that David is very, very, very sick. So I excused myself from the meeting and I told Michael, let me run very fast to Tabaka to see David. So I went to Tabaka, but I found that David was critically ill that he cannot be able to say anything. So what he did, he looked at me and he died. So what am I saying? I missed the opportunity. Maybe if I could be able to go earlier, he could have, maybe could have repented, could have told me to pray for him. Maybe he could have told me something which maybe could have helped his life. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your time. Don't miss your day. This is the right day. This is the right time. The right time to do the right things of God. The right time that we need to change our lives. And my brothers and sisters, want to thank you especially for this day and for your time that you have given to me so that I can be able to stand before you and speak to you. I'm asking for your prayers so that God can be able to help me to preach the gospel, and especially when I'm in Kenya. We have a lot of dangers in Kenya. We have a lot of dangers in Africa, as I told you. We travel in bad roads. We have a lot of accidents, evil people. So we need your prayers so that the work of God might be able to continue and continue. Don't miss the opportunity that the Lord has given you. And may God bless you.